And I see that we have Commissioners Fritz and Udaly are with us. All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is the Wednesday, June 24th, 2020 afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Keelan, could you please call the roll?
Hardesty, Udaly.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here, and Commissioner Hardesty has a pre-excused absence. Colleagues, under Portland City Code and state law, the City Council is holding this meeting electronically. All members of the Council are attending remotely by video and teleconference, and the City has made several avenues available for the public to listen to the audio broadcast of this meeting. The meeting is available to the public on the City's YouTube channel, eGovPDX, www.portlandoregon.gov/video, and Channel 30. The public can also provide written testimony to Council by emailing the Council Clerk at cctestimony@portlandoregon.gov. The Council is taking these steps as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the need to limit in-person contact and to promote physical distancing. The pandemic is an emergency that threatens the public health, safety, and welfare, which requires us to meet remotely by electronic communications. Thank you all for your patience, your flexibility, your willingness to learn new technologies, and your understanding as we manage through this difficult situation to do the City's business. I'll now turn it over to legal counsel to read the rules of order and decorum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor.
Hi, Lori.
To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with Council Clerk's Office for Communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. The published council agenda at portlandoregon.gov/auditor contains information about how and when you may sign up for testimony while the City Council is holding electronic meetings. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are allowed.
The phone number didn't let you go in, is that right?
Evelyn, can I ask you to mute, please?
Okay.
If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When your time is up, the presiding officer will ask you to conclude. Disruptive conduct such as shouting, refusing to conclude your testimony when your time is up, or interrupting others' testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being placed on hold or ejected from the remainder of the electronic meeting. Please be aware that all council meetings are recorded.
Very good, thank you. We have two items today. The first is a proclamation being introduced by myself and Commissioner Udaly. The second is a report introduced by Commissioner Udaly. I want to acknowledge that Commissioner Udaly has taken the lead on behalf of the council on both of these items. After Keelan reads 507 and 508, I'll have some brief introductory remarks and then I'll turn it over to Commissioner Udaly. So Keelan, could you please read items 507 and 508?
Item 507, proclaim the City of Portland a place that does not tolerate xenophobia by condemning the rise in hate crimes, attacks, and attitudes against American and Asian Pacific Islander communities due to the racist manipulation and polarization of the COVID-19 crisis.
Very good.
Sorry,
go ahead.
Okay. Item 508, accept report of the new Portlanders Policy Commission.
Very good. First of all, I want to thank the new Portlanders Policy Commission for being with us today and for sharing this important testimony. I know oftentimes in presentations like this, people are asked to re-litigate their trauma on stage in full view of the public, which can be emotionally very demanding, and it's something privileged groups like my own rarely have to deal with. I want to acknowledge that. I wish there were circumstances which brought you here. I wish the circumstances which brought you here were somewhat different, but I commend you for being here anyway and taking on that challenge. And I want to just state on behalf of the entire council The burden this places on you is not going unnoticed. It goes without saying that we're living through an unprecedented public health crisis right now. No country, no community, and no individuals are spared from the impact of COVID-19. This proclamation condemning hate crimes against the Asian American and Pacific Islander communities comes at a very important time in American history. And I'm eager to add the voices of the AAPI community to the discussion our country is finally having around what it means to be a non-white person existing in a country that was not designated with them in mind. That conversation has to be had at our dinner tables, with our neighbors, and within institutions like the police bureau and the city council as we are now. They're about more than just police accountability and justice. They're about examining the role of one's race and what it plays in determining their outcomes in our society. I believe that this is an important inflection point in our culture that's been a long time coming. I include in all of this, of course, the impacts of the Black Lives Matter movement, which is not far removed from the substance of today's proclamation. No two groups' experiences are ever the same, but it's abundantly clear that for many non-white Americans, institutional and cultural racism challenges them daily in ways that white people like myself never have to deal with. During this COVID crisis, a lot has happened, and it's happened very rapidly. It's devastated our economy, skyrocketed unemployment levels, isolated us from our loved ones, and overall, it's challenged our resolve as human beings. AAPI communities have the added burden they must carry of being wrongly and ignorantly blamed for its presence in America. The current president even actively encourages this sentiment. That belief is dangerously ignorant. It has no place here in Portland. COVID has caused enough suffering on its own. I ask you to point your frustrations towards the productive. Our concern should be with eradicating the effects and not looking out for any groups to scapegoat. We're all in this together. Our city strives to be a welcoming, healthy, safe community for all of us. And we do better than most, but it's clear that we still have a long way to go before that holds true for all Portlanders. Ignorance about the reality race plays in people's lives is no longer an excuse for inaction. It's impossible to remove oneself from the moment this country is going through. I urge all of us to ask ourselves where we fit into all of this and what side of history we want to be on. I take this seriously and commit to doing my part in addressing the concerns NPPC brings to light here today. And I thank you for that. I thank you for your expression of concerns, for your willingness to share your testimony, for being here. I'm looking forward to listening and learning. And now I want to turn this over to the council's leader on these efforts here today, Commissioner Chloe Udaly. Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you, Mayor. Good afternoon, everyone. Before I begin, I just want to let you know I'm having a little bit of a allergy attack and having a hard time catching my breath. So please bear with me. Before I read the proclamation, I want to acknowledge the New Portlander Policy Commission. NPPC wrote this proclamation and advocated for council to support it. We'll be hearing more from the NPPC this afternoon about the work that they've accomplished and their goals moving forward. But I'd, for now, like to thank NPPC members June Schumann, Ann Downing, Octaviano Mariseas, Evelyn Liu, and Bear Booty, as well as Civic Life staffers Marco, Maia, and Tukau for all their work making this happen today. I'm very impressed by your commitment to our city and your unwavering support of New Portlanders. And now I will read the proclamation. Whereas Apano and Pua have seen an increase in reports of racially based hate crimes against Asian Americans and Asian Pacific Islander communities, spurred on by reference to the virus as Chinese virus, Wuhan virus, and Kung Flu in place of the scientific name for the virus, and whereas Asian Americans and Asian Pacific Islander communities are being scapegoated due to fears, uncertainties, and the use of anti-Asian rhetoric perpetuated by federal leadership. According to AAPI Stop Hate, AAPI communities have experienced nearly 1,100 anti-Asian physical and verbal attacks since March 2020. Yet Asian Americans are no more likely to be carriers of COVID-19 than any other Americans. And whereas City Council declared the City of Portland a welcoming city, a sanctuary city, and an inclusive city for all, Resolution 37277, adopted by Council on March 2, 2017. And whereas Portland City Code Section 23.01.010 states that it is the policy of the City of Portland to eliminate discrimination based on race, religion, color, sex, marital status, familial status, national origin, age, mental or physical disability, sexual orientation, gender identity, or source of income. Such discrimination poses a threat to the health, safety, and general welfare of the citizens of Portland and menaces the institutions and foundation of our community. And whereas Portland City Council in 2016 adopted Code Section 3.131.010, establishing the new Portlander Policy Commission to advise the city on policies and practices to integrate immigrant and refugee communities, voices and needs into the provision of city services, city decision-making, and civic engagement in Portland. And whereas City Council acknowledges the challenges faced by all Portlanders during the COVID-19 crisis, while specifically people of Asian American and Asian Pacific Islander descent have been subject to hate crimes, we acknowledge that Black and Indigenous communities are disproportionately impacted by the highest infection and fatality rate due to the health disparities perpetuated by systemic racism. And whereas Portland City Council believes that all immigrants and refugees are critical additions to the social and economic well-being of the city, now therefore I, Chloe Daly, Portland City Commissioner, on behalf of Ted Wheeler, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim the City of Portland a place that does not tolerate xenophobia by condemning the rise in hate crimes, attacks, and attitudes against Asian American and Asian Pacific Islander communities due to the racist manipulation and polarization of the COVID-19 crisis.
Thank you, Commissioner, appreciate it. And Commissioner, I assume you want to go ahead and do the play-by-play on the next item. We'll go ahead and however you want to do it.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor. First, I want to acknowledge how patient the new Portlander Policy Commission has been throughout the COVID-19 crisis. This annual report has been rescheduled a number of times over the last several months, and I'm very happy that we're able to hear from the NPPC today. Additionally, the NPPC adapted their annual report to create a COVID-19 addendum that we'll learn more about this afternoon. The NPPC recognized that immigrant and refugee communities are disproportionately impacted by the global pandemic and worked to incorporate the crisis into their presentation. So thank you for your patience. Thank you for being responsive to our current environment and recognizing disparate impacts. And I look forward to hearing from everyone today. So now I'd like to introduce the first NPP speakers, June Schumann, Ann Downing, who I don't see, I might have that wrong, and Octaviano Maricias, which I hope is close.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Commissioner Udaly and Fritz. My name is June Schumann. I'm a member of MPPC. I am an immigrant who came to this country as an alien dependent of a U.S. citizen. I am the founding director of Oregon Nikkei Legacy Center, and a longtime community activist. I am here to speak about the proclamation that you have just approved. In the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic, we became alarmed by the increased reports of racist incidents against Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. Reference to the virus as Chinese virus, Wuhan virus, and Kung flu in place of the scientific name is fanning the anti-Asian stereotypes and scapegoating. We are being labeled as dirty and uncivilized. The city's resilient Portland resolution refers to the Oregon Department of Justice's report that year to date, hate crimes and bias incidents in Oregon increased by 366%. 20% of these came from were against Oregon's AAPI communities, who make up 5% of the population. From February to April in Portland, there were reports of 10 incidents, about 42% of all, directly related to COVID-19. We can assume that this number is small and more are unreported. These incidents are examples of the longstanding pattern of racial hostilities directed against people of color, both native-born and foreign-born. People from the Middle East and other parts of Asia, Pacific Islands, Africa, and countries south of our border have been targets of hate for decades. The COVID-19 related incidents against the AAPI people shouldn't be ignored or minimized. It is critical that public officials speak out against racism. The message has to be clear that it is not okay to harass and scapegoat anyone for the pandemic. We thank you for your swift action to approve the proclamation. Now, I'd like to introduce Ann Downing, who's with us by phone, to speak about her students confronted by anti-Asian harassment. Ann. And you need to unmute yourself.
Ann, can you hear us? You need to unmute yourself.
She can push star six
on the keypad if she's just on the phone. There she is.
Oh, awesome. Yay. Ann? Well, I still can't hear her.
Huh.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, she's just muted herself again, I see.
There. Ann, can you hear us okay? Evelyn, do you have Ann's phone number?
Yes, I do.
Maybe, Ann, if you can hear me, maybe if you hang up for a moment, we'll have Evelyn call you. And then she'll just put you on speakerphone and we'll be able to hear you just fine.
Okay, here
we go. She hung up. Why don't you go ahead and call her, Evelyn?
Yeah, I did her mute.
We'll do it old school.
Oh, she's been available.
Okay. Okay, I'll try it again. Ann?
Hi. No. Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Don't even try. We're going to put you through the phone. I'm going to put you in front of the speaker and they can hear you, okay?
Yep, we hear you loud and clear.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, June, and dear Mayor Wheeler and City Commissioners. Sorry about the phone. My name is Ann Downing, and I teach English as a second language in East Portland at David Douglas High School. And I thank you for the opportunity to share my experience and that of some of my Asian students during recent months. Toward the end of January 2020, misinformation and rumors were spreading rapidly through the school. I did daily corona updates. Each day, I reminded students that COVID-19 is not a racial disease, it's a human disease. One of my Chinese students stayed after class to tell me that he endured what he endured every day. He was being harassed in hallways and between classes. He was sometimes shoved by strangers into lockers as they passed, or students would give him a wide berth. Lunchtime was unbearable for him. He was openly harassed and was told on two occasions to get out of line because he had the Chinese virus. People stared at him and his friends. He was shunned on a daily basis. His mother began packing him lunch. He and other Asian students found places to eat outside the cafeteria to eat. I began seeing signs of shunning in my classroom. A few students didn't want to partner or work with small groups with their Asian classmates. One day, one of my Vietnamese students pulled out a snack from home, and his partner came over to me and to complain that the Chinese food, it was grapes, might make him sick. He wanted a new partner. Asian students struggled with their limited English to describe to me the microaggressions they had endured. My English language learners are kind and they are generous, but fear of the unknown brought out the worst in a few of them. Overt and subtle aggressions were recorded all over the school. David Douglas graduates at PSU were texting me to say they felt very uncomfortable in and out of class. People distanced themselves on buses and at MAX platforms. My heart broke when one of them said, "I wish I could change my face." Asian restaurants and stores were becoming empty. My teaching assistant lost his job at a downtown Asian restaurant. Another Asian teaching assistant was laid off from her job at an Asian store. In both cases, the additional income was critical to the family's stability. The pandemic has been particularly isolating and dehumanizing in so many ways for Asian teens and their families. I'll pass it on to Octavio.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I would like to acknowledge that the Portland metro area rests on traditional villages, sites of the Molomac, Wasco, Cowlitz, Clackamas, Band of Chinook, Tualatin, Kalapuya, Molala, and other tribes. My name is Octaviano Merecias. I am a member of the Executive Committee of the New Portlanders Policy Commission, and I'm a member of the Mixtec Indigenous Nation that came to Oregon to work in the construction sites, canneries, farms, and tree plant and nurseries. Currently, I'm a grad student at Johns Hopkins University, and I have served proudly in this commission for 3 years. This week is my last week. We're passing the baton to new members of Portland. I work in the city of Portland, within the limits of the city of Portland, and I have dedicated 20 years of my life here to volunteer and to give back to Oregon. On behalf of the New Portlanders Policy Commission, we thank City Council for taking the steps to publicly condemn and denounce the surge and rise in actions of white supremacist attitudes, attacks, and hate crimes against Asian Americans and Asian Pacific Islander communities and members of our Black communities. Elected officials owe accountability, responsibility, and commitment to advance social and racial justice in order to create a safe and healthy social, emotional, political, cultural community for Portlanders, for all Portlanders. The intersectionality in health disparities, educational disparities, and systemic injustices that affect Black, Indigenous, and people of color and immigrant communities rest on the responsibility of just, equitable, and mindful policies. This is the trust that the community put on elected officials. We also want to acknowledge and thank the City Council for your early efforts to address the negative consequences of COVID-19 on Asian communities by partnering with API organizations to provide small grants to J District businesses that suffered a decline in businesses during the early stages of COVID-19. In addition, we acknowledge and thank the Council for investing in Portland United Against Hate, which continue to provide critical resources in addressing hate. I will keep my part short and I will pass the mic back to our co-chair, Evelyn.
Thanks, Octaviano.
Thank you very much, Octaviano, and June and Anne for your testimony. I need to change it because I have Tommy's picture up here. I do not look like that. Just a minute. Start video. Okay, there I am. Sorry. Had a beard. Good afternoon there, Wheeler. Commissioner Hugh Daly, Fritz, and I understand Joanne Hardesty is at another event. I am Evelyn Liu. I'm the chair of the New Partners Policy Commission. Okay, so it looks like we have our slide up, which means that I need to go back to my notes here, and it just blotted out my notes, it's filled my entire screen. So I hope you, your family, and friends are staying safe and healthy. We were scheduled, as Commissioner Hugh Daly had indicated, that on June the 9th. But in light of the protests of that week, we, the executive committee, decided to request a postponement to a later date to allow City Council space to deal with the events and also allow our commission to reflect on our statement of solidarity with the African American and Black community. We do wish to acknowledge and thank Commissioner Hugh Daly for sharing our statement on her website. So I was asked for a little bit about myself. You know, my parents are from China. My parents arrived in May of 1950, and I was born same year, June 22nd, the same year. Grew up in Hawthorne neighborhood, Buckman Grade School, Girls Polytechnic, the only girls school at that time, and majored in humanities at PSU. I have served on Joint's board, currently serve on Open Signals Board and Asian Pacific Chamber. The New Partners Policy Commission, or NPPC, was established by 187-805 Ordinance, and we were officially sworn in on May of 2016. We had a pool of applicants, but 25 were selected. And each of us came to the commission with varied cultural backgrounds and life experiences, where we all live, work, play, and pray in the city of Portland. As a commission and leaders representing our various communities, we are charged with supporting the city's equity initiatives by reviewing and refining past recommendations on immigrant and refugee policies and practices, developing policy and practice recommendations for improving integration, providing expert support and technical advice to city council and city bureaus, and finally providing expert support and technical advice to partnering schools, local governments, state and federal agencies in developing and implementing a comprehensive body of immigrant and refugee policies and practices. We had prepared a presentation of the updated revised New Partners Speak 2.0 ad hoc task force, but when the pandemic hit us, we updated this report with an addendum responding to the needs within Portland's immigrant and refugee community. Ooh, here we go. Who have been one of the communities most impacted during the pandemic. I wish to thank our fellow commissioners, both past and present, and the executive committee, who devoted much time and effort during these last 4 years to create both bodies of work. Coming from different cultures, expectations, and life experiences, these last 4 years working together as a group has created opportunities to grow personally, thus gaining understanding of others as we move forward in creating space to advocate for our communities. In the interest of time, I won't go through each name, but you can see them listed on the slide, which is on the PowerPoint. And, okay, thank you. Today, I'm joined by my fellow commissioners, Ann Downing and June Schumann, who will speak on how COVID-19 has impacted the community and the recommendations. Dr. Bahir Budi will present an abbreviated summary of the New Portland Speak 2.0, and I will conclude with final remarks and end by taking questions from council. Thank you. And so, Ann and June.
Thank you, Evelyn. Again, this is Ann Downing, and I'm a member of the NPPC. Thank you for the opportunity again to share my experiences and that of my students. On March 13th, our last day of school, my classroom seemed empty. I said goodbye to the students, and I told them I would see them again in 2 weeks. The students and I never returned. I began calling home to assess family needs. We started compiling a list of students who needed technology at home. Most needed a Chromebook, and many of those families did not even have Wi-Fi connections. The school sent home Chromebooks and set up hotspots with internet providers. Nearly all my students needed Chromebooks to do online learning. It took weeks to get students the technology they needed. Some were afraid to leave their homes to pick up a Chromebook at school, while others just didn't have transportation. Getting my students online and teaching them how to navigate classes with Google Classroom was very challenging. My students reported their parents were out of work. Out of my four students, only three families did not experience unemployment.
Evelyn, you've accidentally muted, so we can't hear Ann. Can you unmute Evelyn? Evelyn, can you unmute on your screen so we can hear Ann?
Families did not experience unemployment. This created an urgent need for food assistance. Sun Food Pantries began making weekly deliveries. Some families refused help because it was embarrassing to receive food. Free food. Others did not want to receive any sort of aid because they feared deportation or they worried it might jeopardize their chances at full citizenship. Culturally appropriate food was unavailable through local food banks. My students, with their very limited English, were often the only family member with enough English to navigate financial aid forms. They were overwhelmed with complicated online forms and questions they couldn't answer. Families often had someone in the family who was ill. As time went by, there were hospitalizations and deaths. Families grappled with medical bills and funeral costs. This crisis is ongoing with my students' families. Community leaders and their organizations have scrambled heroically to fill some of these needs. Thank you, and I will pass it back to Jen.
Thank you, Ann.
Thank you, Ann. Again, my name is June Schumann, a member of MPPC. There was immediate impact from the pandemic on the immigrants and refugees because a significant number of these communities work in low-wage jobs that could not be done from home. So their jobs and incomes disappeared. Unemployment benefits are not available to all who are laid off. While we acknowledge the hardships felt by all who lost their jobs to the pandemic, immigrants and refugees have the added burden of navigating systems that were not designed for people with diverse language and cultural backgrounds. We identify the following as the most urgent priorities from the MPPC's perspective. Provide better access to information about state, county, and city policies that impact immigrants and refugees. Fill the gap in the unemployment benefits that excludes workers due to their immigration status. Increase participation of immigrants and refugees in city decision-making bodies. Ensure safety for those subjected to hate crimes. As volunteers in our own respective communities, some of us have initiated fundraising and organized distribution of food and financial assistance for thousands of families whose jobs disappeared and businesses were shut down. Others are busy participating in Prosper Portland work groups, city council community calls, Oregon Health Authority debriefings, and other policy-related conversations. Our work will continue with the Office of Community and Civic Life to utilize their research to inform our work. Finally, we have two recommendations for the City Council's consideration. Number one, invest additional city dollars in the Oregon Workers Relief Fund. We want to thank you for quickly approving $250,000 for the Oregon Workers Relief Fund. This is a good start. However, the need is significantly greater, estimated at over 100 million statewide. We support the recommendation by the Undocumented Portlanders Work Group that each jurisdiction contribute a minimum of $2 million immediately. This will help stabilize local families and avoid dire conditions by filling the gaps in the present assistance programs. Number two, pass a proclamation to condemn the rise in incidents of hate and attitudes against Asian, American, and Pacific Islander AAPI communities due to racist manipulation and politicization of COVID-19 crisis. Thank you to Mayor and Commissioner Udaly for leading action on this earlier. Impacts of COVID-19 will be long-lasting. We are appreciative of your leadership, your focus on equity and communities most impacted, and your recognition that there is so much more to do. Thank you for your time. We will now open for any questions that you may have.
Thank you, June. Colleagues, any questions?
We have just one last presenter, which is Bacher.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you.
Okay, shall we go on to the next section?
Right, which is Bacher. He was with us.
Yeah, he's on. He's just muted at the moment.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Here he is.
Well, thank you, Marco and Evelyn. And good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. I hope you are all staying safe and well.
Thank you.
My name is Bahar Bhutti. I'm Arabic speaking. I'm a secretary in the commission. So while we won't have time to fully present the new Portlander Speak 2.0 report today, I'd like to provide this brief summary. In 2007, which was the year that I arrived to the United States, to America, Oregon, Portland, as a refugee, and I engaged at that time, the Immigrants and Refugees Task Force that was part of the Vision PDX, and they produced the new Portland Speaks report at that time. It had four recommendations. Create an office of immigrant and refugee affairs. Two, establish a multicultural center. Three, provide additional resources for immigrant and refugee organizations to train their constituents in civic engagement. Four, assess city human resources policies and practices. A major advance took place thanks to Commissioner Fritz. In July 2006, we got the City Ordinance, Chapter 3.131, and ordained to a commission, to New Portland Policy Commission. The purpose, as stated in the ordinance of the commission, were A, review, develop, evaluate, and refine policy and practice recommendations for improving immigrant and refugee community integration in all city activities. B, facilitate constructive working partnerships between city leaders and newcomer community leadership. C, provide a forum for setting integration goals between city bureaus and community organizations. D, provide technical support and policy advice to the city council offices and city bureaus, that's our role. B, serve as consultant and advocate to local, state, and federal agencies on policies impacting immigrant and refugee communities as capacity allows. What remains in 2020? We still don't have a formal office for immigrant and refugees. to coordinate services with other programs in the city. Cultural and linguistic barriers persist. Only 9 languages are recognized by the city, while there are several other growing communities who are not being included. We are still lacking a culturally specific formal stage slash home that can go beyond the language barrier toward a culturally appropriate integration process. At that time, 10 years ago, there was a feasibility study by the Bureau of Sustainability and Development for the Intercultural Center. When we asked for it last year, 2 years ago, the staff in the Bureau couldn't find it. It's gone. And I hate also to say this, but when it comes to employment, there is still a kind of token minority hire going on, which can be an expression of structural implicit bias. So we updated the recommendations by the task force, thanks to the support of Commissioner Daly and the staff of the Community and Civic Life Office. We had 4 policy recommendations. Reinforce, fortify, and develop best practices to better serve the migrant and refugee constituent base by providing these functions at the city, build structures for information sharing, like at least a system, a call system 311, to improve practices and resource communities. That includes 3 key elements. The first key short-term goal is establishing a clearly identifiable, reliable, responsive, and well-informed home slash space slash place and staff that would serve as a bridge between city resources and their governmental representatives and immigrant and refugee communities. Again, a 311 call resource center would be an easy and financially feasible start. A second key element needed is an effective intra-city system that is responsive in the language, culture, and needs of the migrant and refugee communities, as when people call or visit the city offices. A third key element needed is a migrant and refugee space in the form of an intercultural center, a space for collaboration and learning among community, governments, nonprofits, and academia. And that's the collective impact model that we hope to adopt. 2, establish updated and effective data collection systems. The city needs a modern information system that orients around the whole person regarding the social determinants of health, food, housing, employment, legal needs, environmental impacts. 3, conduct an audit of City of Portland internal services and programs to assess effectiveness in meeting the needs for immigrants and refugees. 4, build collaborative cross-jurisdictional programs, services, and policies with leveraged funding and improved communication and innovative partnerships to support the migrants and refugees. A mid to long-term recommendation is that the city begin to explore and develop a joint immigrant and refugee work across jurisdictions. This coordinated effort would improve the community's social determinants of health on, as we said, on the collective impact model. Simultaneously, without an actual space where migrant and refugee community members can come together for healing, as well as building the political relationships to address community needs, the vision of the New Portland Policy Commission remains unfulfilled. My final comment is that we seek an inviting city that demonstrates through intentional governance and functional systems a respect for our culture, knowledge, assets, and abilities. The migrant and refugee communities of Portland are excited to practice and be part of our newfound democracy. We seek to be an active agent in our own self-determination and community health and wealth. The city can be key in removing barriers and building ladders, not looking down upon, but helping up our hardworking and diverse community members to fortify a new and better life. We can do this by listening to the dreams of immigrants and refugees who are known as Portlanders and join as accomplices in making these dreams a reality. We ask that later we return to this longer term discussion to provide a more comprehensive presentation. And we all know now we have the opportunity to create a new normal. Thank you.
Thank you, appreciate it.
So thank you, Dr. Booty. So in closing, this is Evelyn again. And so in closing, I'd like to thank Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners Udaly, Fritz, and Hardesty for their time. Do I need to unmute myself? No, I do not.
No, you're good. Okay. We can hear you.
So we want to let you know that through your actions as commissioners for the City of Portland, you have demonstrated your values in centering the most impacted by the inequities and the disparities, which have exposed all of the, as I'd indicated, the disparities. And still, we know that there's much work to do, and we know that it will take time. You know, frequently, we expect overnight changes, but we know that that's not possible. It's like changing your own habits. It takes a little while. So we look forward as MTPC members to partnering with the city during your ongoing considerations of current and future policy and budget changes. The socioeconomic health of our communities depend on our urgent short-term and long-term policies that guides towards a transformation. The previous normal was unjust to BIPOC communities. We now have the opportunity to create a new normal, and we'll just have to go with the flow. So thank you again, and thank you, commissioners, both city council and all of our commissioners who spoke today, and everyone who has served in the past or currently commissioners and will be joining us. Thank you again, and open for any questions.
Thank you. Excellent. Colleagues, any questions or thoughts? I just wanted to, Commissioner Fritz, go ahead.
Thank you. That was a really provocative and helpful list, Dr. Booty, in terms of the next steps, the things that still need to be done. I'm particularly intrigued with the need to collaborate with the counties, and I'm thinking of Washington County as well as Multnomah County. Do you know, is there anything similar to the new Portlanders Policy Commission going on in either of those places?
May I speak? So in the city of Beaverton, there is a committee for immigrants and refugees. We have liaison there, but there is no, like, it's not to the level of even a council or a commission. There is an advisory board. You know, it's not, anyway, it's not that level that the city of Portland is doing. So we are grateful for the city of Portland for taking this initiative.
There are
no other things in other counties. I'm not aware of Clackamas.
Well, we'll have to do something about that, and perhaps I can help with that. I serve as the city's representative on the League of Oregon Cities, so I've been developing relationships with the cities, city council members in Washington County and Multnomah County. So I would be happy to see how I can partner with Commissioner Udaly and your commission to start establishing more of those connections moving forward, because it obviously does need to be a metro area initiative, because we have people living in all of those places. Thank you. That's really interesting.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anybody else? Very good. I also want to thank all of you for your testimony, and I really want to acknowledge the testimony that you gave us from the perspective of the impact on young people in our schools. And we're certainly hearing testimony from other individuals that is similar. And I want to thank you for sharing that information. And June, thank you for working with us to patch through the technology and make this work this afternoon so that everybody could be heard. Commissioner Daly, I want to thank you in particular for your leadership on this and bringing this forward today, not only the annual report of the commission, but as well the important proclamation that you read. And I want to thank you personally for your leadership in that regard. If there are no other questions at this particular time, then I will accept a motion and a second to accept the report of the new Portlanders Policy Commission.
Oh, could I make a comment?
Yeah, of course. Go ahead, Evelyn.
I just wanted to add that, you know, we do look forward to meeting each one of the commissioners, or at least with your chief of staff, we are well aware that, you know, this is a really challenging time for everyone, but that, you know, getting to know who we are, we would appreciate a little bit of time again so that you would get to know us also, so that we could work together and to maybe assist in any way that we can on the on some of the items that are on your plate that are pressing.
That's fantastic, and thank you, Evelyn, for that generous offer. I know we all appreciate it. Commissioner Fritz, did you have your hand raised again?
I did. I just wanted to say thank you to Evelyn for that office, for that offer. I was just thinking this morning when I saw this item on the agenda, how much I miss meeting with you and your colleagues and how helpful you've been to me. And now that we're all getting used to this strange way of interacting with each other, and I, Anne Downing, I share your challenges with participating by phone. It's very difficult. Thank you, Evelyn, for helping to work around that. So, yeah, if you could please contact my schedule, I'd be happy to set up a meeting. That'd be fantastic.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, likewise, and thank you for the generous offer.
But of course.
Very good. I'll entertain a motion and a second to accept the new Portlanders Policy Commission report.
I move the report.
Second.
I have a motion from Commissioner Udaly, a second from Commissioner Fritz. Any further discussion? Keelan, please call the roll.
Udaly.
Well, I want to thank Marco from Civic Life and Hannah from my office, who is the liaison, for helping bring this forward. Of course, thank everyone that's here today, Evelyn, June, Bear, and Octaviano. I want to thank you for your years of service and congratulate you. I'll have to find out what you're moving on to next. I'm sure it's something equally exciting and important. And I want to appreciate the requests that you've made to us. It's very helpful to me in this moment to be given, you know, concrete asks that we can start making progress toward, because this is a intense and overwhelming episode in our history, but the work has to continue, and I'm supportive of your work. I'm very interested in your proposals, and just want you to know that the Oregon Workers Relief Fund, Digital Divide, Bridging the Digital Divide, and providing language supports and other accommodations have been top priorities for me throughout this crisis. So I'm glad we're aligned on that. And I'm going to end it there and just look forward to connecting with you all soon. I vote aye.
It's really wonderful to see you all and hear from you. I'm going to start with addressing the proclamation and thank you for your leadership in deferring these items while we were so busy with the budget and focusing on the Black Lives Matter movement and the protests. That that shows great allyship, and I appreciate your firm leadership within the community. And we are in the middle of two public health crises, the acute one of COVID-19 and the ongoing one of systemic racism towards the Black community, the Indigenous community, and communities of color, and to all immigrant refugee communities. The proclamation affirms the city's recognition of how anti-Asian American and Pacific Islander xenophobia continues to affect your communities disproportionately, and the pandemic's disproportionate impact on those communities due to folks being vulnerable due to economic inequality, health disparities, and social exclusion. So thank you to each one of you who shared today. Thank you particularly, Anne Downing. Gosh, what a sobering recounting of the challenges that your students, your Asian students have endured throughout this pandemic. And I think of how long I've been isolated by myself here at home, and the days seem to stretch into years. And for them, that also must be the case, that being shunned by their peers and not feeling safe in the community, feeling even less safe in the community, I really feel for them. And thank you, Anne, for your many years, your decades of taking care of those students at David Douglas High School, and for all that you've taught me over the years. I greatly appreciate you and your value to the community and your years of teaching and your service to the Commission. We have seen throughout the years, from the Black Death to Ebola, now to COVID, xenophobia and public health policy are strongly linked and have often involved scapegoating of non-white people and others. And so with the resolution, we proclaimed that we will not tolerate these actions or any marginalized groups in the city of Portland. Thank you also for the New Portlanders Commission report. That member list is like a list of all stars of the immigrant refugee communities and exemplifies the leadership. And it's fantastic to see how many different communities are represented in your commission. So I'm very happy that it has continued to blossom after I got it started in 2016. Thank you to longtime staff member Linda Castillo, who was very important and was in some of the photographs we saw. I did want to mention, by the way, that Commissioner Hardesty would have been here. She has a long-standing absence this week, but it was very important. It is very important to her to support the immigrant and refugee communities, and I know she appreciated the ability to focus on the budget and police accountability over the past 3 weeks. I would be very appreciative of getting some recommendations on different languages to add to the list of approved safe harbor languages in the city of Portland. My staff, Tatiana Elihaldi, in the Office of Equity and Human Rights, has been doing work on language access. And so I'd be happy to talk with representatives and to get your recommendations about which additional languages to move forward. And it's really encouraging and inspiring to hear that despite all that's going on with the pandemic and with the xenophobia in the community, that you're still focused on these are the steps that we need to take to truly value New Portlanders. And as I mentioned, I'd be very happy to work with the council members from different jurisdictions in Washington and Multnomah counties to see if we can, before I leave, which is now 6 months and a little bit, get something established for a partnership there. So look forward to meeting with you, and let's maybe focus on that when we meet. I feel very blessed to be a New Portlander myself, and two others of my staff were not born in this country. Two more are the daughters of immigrants. So we, while acknowledging that our city as a whole does not yet reflect the diversity in our community and the richness of our community, I have been very blessed with the staff that I have had over the last 11 plus years to be informed by folks who have different backgrounds, different perspectives, and just the richness that has given to me has been so helpful. Thank you to Misan Kwan and Yesenia Carrillo, who helped me with preparation for this session. And thank you all, each and every one of you. This, being on a commission takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of work to staff it. Thank you, Marco, for taking up that work, and for each of you for the work that you've done and the work that you will do. Octavius, I wish you all the best in your next endeavors. Johns Hopkins is very impressive. And thank you, Octaviano, I got that wrong. Yeah, I'm just really excited. As you can tell, this commission has always been super important to me, and it makes me really happy to know that you have taken a concept and made it blossom into something that is going to endure and continue to help the city grow and develop. I'm very happy to vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, the first mistake I've made today is I chose to go right after Commissioner Fritz. And Commissioner Fritz, I want to acknowledge you as well. I gave Commissioner Udaly the credit she deserved for her leadership on these issues and the leadership that she provided in bringing forward the the proclamation today, as well as her and her team's hard work with the Bureau, the Office of Community and Civic Life, to help orchestrate today's events. But I would be completely remiss, Commissioner Fritz, if I didn't also acknowledge your leadership, your years of passion and commitment to the issue of New Portlanders, as well as equity in general. And so I want to thank you, and your enthusiasm is contagious and it's palpable. And I even, Evelyn, maybe you could second me on this. I thought I heard Commissioner Fritz a couple of times hint that she's going to stay actively engaged even after she's retired from the Portland City Council. So that's the first opportunity I've heard to keep her here and to keep her engaged. And on an issue where she is so passionate and thoughtful in her response, I hope that we can persuade her over the next several months to stick around and work with us on some of these issues.
I
just want to acknowledge you. I have learned in the last several weeks that leadership comes in many forms. And the concept of leadership that most Americans are familiar with is charging up the hill and being in the lead and defining both the message and the actions and the strategy. That's sort of the American way, but it's not always the right way. And what I've learned in recent weeks is sometimes you can lead by actually stepping back and stepping aside and taking the opportunity to elevate other people, other lived experiences, and other voices, and instead taking that opportunity to be an ally, to be a strong and to be a genuine ally. And you exhibited that in spades when you made the decision to withhold the report at the height of the local demonstrations to make sure that Black voices had the opportunity to be elevated in the middle of a movement that is elevating and is centered around Black people here in Portland as well as nationally. And I want to acknowledge that profound moment of leadership on your part. It made a huge impression on all of us here at City Hall, and I want to acknowledge that. Number two, I want to acknowledge that even before the COVID crisis was really taken seriously here in the state of Oregon, in the city of Portland, the AAPI community was already feeling its impacts. And we know this because even before we declared a state of emergency, in fact, weeks before we declared a state of emergency, we were already organizing through Prosper Portland aid to the Jade District. And the reports we were getting out of the Jade District was that xenophobia and racism was leading to, in particular, restaurants, but not exclusively restaurants in the Jade District, seeing their business dropping off precipitously at a time when other businesses throughout the city of Portland were still thriving. And that was a wake-up call to a lot of us that this pandemic was going to have a scapegoating component to it. And in fact, some people were, and even still are, referring to this as the quote, China virus, unquote. And I was pleased that we were able to work together with the AAPI community and the folks in the Jade District, Epano and others, to orchestrate some quick and early relief to the Jade District. But that work is clearly not over. That is something I continue to be committed to going forward. And then also yesterday, some of us had the opportunity to participate in a really profound event. It was a commemoration and remembrance of Vincent Chin. And Vincent Chin, of course, was an Asian American, a person living here in the United States, who was brutally murdered. And those who murdered him received a grand total of $3,000 in fines and parole. That was basically it. That was what at the time was the value of his life according to the judicial system here in the United States of America. And that, of course, galvanized the AAPI community nationally. And has continued to galvanize that community. But standing there yesterday with all of those leaders from different backgrounds, different lived experiences, to hear State Senator Lou Frederick, who I thought just did an eloquent job of connecting the Black Lives Matter movement and the lived experience of Black people in the United States and in Portland, and connecting that to other communities, in particular the AAPI community in Oregon, was a profound moment and a reminder that even though the moment we're in is elevating Black lives, there is so much intersectionality between that movement and the work that you do on the New Portlanders Commission and the values that are espoused in the proclamation that Commissioner Udaly read this afternoon. Finally, three, I will say this. The work that your commission does is more important than it has ever been right now. We get called the whitest city in America all the time. And frankly, I cringe when I hear it. And it makes me want to redouble our efforts to be supportive of the communities that we do have. And I like to talk about the engagement and the leadership and the resourcefulness of the communities that we do have in our community. And this commission, I think, is one of the great things that we do to elevate voices that are not voices in the majority. And I appreciate the fact that all of you who serve on this commission do so oftentimes understanding that it could cause you to reopen old wounds, old injustices. It could cause you to have to, again, recite painful aspects of lived experience so that the rest of us can benefit from that understanding. And I want to acknowledge that it is a burden, both personally and professionally, for you to have to do that in service to the community. But I cannot tell you how much I admire your willingness to do that. And so it is with great support and passion and even love for what you do and who you are, that I'm happy to vote aye. The report is accepted. Thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for reading the proclamation. And I believe, Keelan, unless I'm mistaken, that completes our business for this afternoon. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Excellent presentation, excellent testimony. We are adjourned until Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.